whatever it is, it's something that keeps you going. And when you have those challenges, it's easier to get through them and overcome them. And I always say, like, don't be discouraged, get back up and spread your wings. And by having a social business, it's a lot easier to do so.
Welcome to Brave by Design. I'm your host, Laura Khalil. I'm an entrepreneur, coach, and speaker. I love thinking big, exploring the power of personal development, and sharing the best strategies from thought leaders and pioneers in business to empower ambitious women and allies to bravely rise and thrive. Let's get started.
Everyone, welcome to Brave by Design. I am beside myself to introduce you to today's guest, Michaela Ulmer. And as I read her bio, I think you're going to figure out why I'm so excited. After starting her lemonade stand at age 4, yes, you heard me, 4, Michaela has sold over 1 million bottles, secured a deal on Shark Tank, and at age 9, met with Fortune 500 CEOs, and even spoke at the White House, where she introduced President Obama. Now at age 15, and in one of Time Magazine's top 30 most influential teams, Michaela is releasing her first book, Be Fearless, Dream Like a Kid. It's out on August 18th, 2020. Holy guacamole, Michaela, welcome to Brave by Design.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here, and thank you for the enthusiastic introduction and bio.
Well, I just feel like this is so amazing. And I'm sure people listening are like, whoa, what? And so I just want to start by just opening up a topic about the most obvious thing, which is age, because a lot of us have grown up. I mean, Michaela, I'm 40 years old right now. Okay. So I'm like ancient in your world, probably. That's okay. But most of us grow up and are always told by our parents, what do you want to do when you're a grown up?
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, here's what happens. It plagues people, right? Is that they become adults and they're like, well, what do I want to do when I'm an adult? I don't know. And they keep asking, even people my age keep asking that question. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such a lousy question to ask your child. And so, like, let's talk about that, because your parents clearly said, okay, let's go do it.
Yes. So for me, I changed interests so much. I have like a very short focus span. And so I would like go try something and then do this at the library and then like decide to sign up for this event. And my parents kind of were just letting me try it out to see what I enjoyed. And That's still the case right now in high school, as I'm figuring out what extracurriculars I want to do and like what I think I will continue to enjoy doing. But it was when I was 4, I signed up in the Acton Children's Business Fair in Lemonade Day. They're 2 like free events here in Austin, Where kids can like come up with a product and sell their product at a stand for a day without the need of a permit. And so I did it because a lot of my kindergarten friends were doing it, and the age was from kindergarten to 17. And so I was like, this is going to be really fun, and I can try out selling a product. And over
why, and why lemonade?
Well, the lemonade was not, I didn't know that I was going to sell lemonade when I signed up, but over the summer, because the business fair was in August/October/September time. And so I got stung by 2 bees in 1 week, which is very painful. And I became terrified of them. And then the second thing was that my great granny Helen sent me a cookbook. Like, it was this old tattered cookbook. The covers were coming off. It had recipes that called for ingredients like lard in it, and I didn't know what that was. But I got a cookbook from my great granny Helen, and we found a recipe for flaxseed lemonade in it. And so those are kind of 2 separate things that were just happening in the summer. And so I remember I was terrified of the bees. I didn't want to go outside. My parents encouraged me to do some research on them just to figure out, like, why are you so afraid of them? Maybe before you determine you're going to be afraid of them, look at them. Figure out what stung you and learn about them. And so it was picture books, it was animated videos, but the overall
message. Because you were 4.
Yes, exactly. And like, there were I still have some of the picture books that I read, but the message that they said was that the bees, without the bees, you can't have your strawberries, your parents' coffee, chocolate, like lots of fruits and vegetables and nuts, and even like cheese on pizza. And then it was also saying that the bees are dying at an alarming rate. And so I made up my mind, because I love like my strawberry jam on toast, that I was going to make a lemonade stand to save the bees, and maybe I could sweeten it with honey and use my great granny Helen's recipe. So it was kind of just a hodgepodge mix of the events that happened that summer.
And you just tried it out.
Yeah, I know. I found a really good recipe and I wanted to switch it with honey. And then I also wanted to donate some from the lemonade stand.
Okay. And then is that when things started to take off?
No.
Okay. No.
So before I came up with that idea, there were a couple of ideas. One was Play-Doh and wildflowers that I sold in front of my house. Didn't do great. Another one was...
Wait, back up. Play-Doh and wildflowers. Tell me, separate things or were they supposed to go together?
They went together.
So interesting.
A wildflower, and then I wrapped it in a ball of Play-Doh and tried to sell it. And that was the product. You know, it was good. I learned things like, it has to be something that customers want, but it didn't do as well. Mm-hmm. And so even the first lemonade stand was like a test one. The product wasn't great. It was really bitter. And it like didn't taste great, but I went back into the kitchen, you know, tried more recipes. And so the next time I sold on my stand, it tasted pretty good. And I got a lot of good feedback on it, but it probably didn't start picking up until I was 8. And when I was 8, from the point when I was 4 until I was 8, mm-hmm. I just did lemonade stands 3 or 4 times a year in front of my house at the fairs or like on busy streets. And each time I exchanged facts with people about the bees, I learned how to count change and mm-hmm. spoke facts about the bees.
So there's something really critical that I'm hearing in this story, because I'm assuming, did you get your really big break when you went on Shark Tank, or did that happen before?
My really big break came when I was invited to sell my product into Whole Foods. And that was actually before Shark Tank. So,
okay. How old were you then?
I was 8 and a half. Okay, so at 8, I was selling out of my stand just like a regular day. The owner of a local pizza shop in Austin said, if you can find a way to bottle your product, we'd like to carry it in our store. And so I started asking my parents, bottle a product? Isn't that like the lemonades and the sodas I see on the shelves? How do you do that?
Right.
So we started researching. We figured out that you can't produce it in your house, but you could produce it in a commercial kitchen. Yeah. And that was within our budget of what I'd saved from the past lemonade stands. So we bottled it. We got my friend's mom to design a label and we sold it to Eastside Pies. After being in Eastside Pies, I wanted to do a little like launching event about the product. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing workshops about the bees, and I would just like go in front of these stores or these schools and teach kids about the bees. And so I was doing one in front of Whole Foods. And they said, if your product is bottled, we'd like to carry it in our store too for BuzzFeed. And that's really rare. In order to get into Whole Foods, you have to have a sales team. It has to be regional. Like, it's never for an individual store. But it may have been because it was the first Whole Foods location ever, because I live in Austin. And they like local products, and it was National Bee Week. But that was the first time, and they only ordered 4. I said, you may want a couple more because it sells out fast. They said, we don't want to be stuck with leftover product.
Wait, do you mean 4 bottles or 4 cases?
4 cases. So there's like 12 bottles in a case.
Okay.
But it's funny because half a week later, they ordered some more and they said, we sold out, we'd like some more. And so it was that store, and then some other stores around Austin picked it up. But that was probably the big break, because it was selling a lot more product and a lot more people found out about our business.
Okay. And this is so important for people to hear, because I feel like sometimes, especially because you're so young and you have had so much success early on, people can think that maybe you were an overnight success. A lot of people love to believe this idea of people that are like an overnight success. And what I always say is that an overnight success is years in the making. And what you just told me is that from 4 to 8, you just consistently kept going at it. You just kept doing the lemonade stands. You just kept showing up. You just kept learning. And that's what nobody ever sees on the back end. We only see like, oh my gosh, she's hit it big, which is super awesome. But there's a lot of work and consistency that goes into that. And I think that's a really important message for people to hear, is that you stuck with it.
Yes.
I love it.
And it's interesting because, like, you see companies that just started out and suddenly they're national with multiple chains. And I'm like, oh man, I've been in this for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm anywhere close to there. But you realize that they had like millions of dollars in funding and marketing plans, and they had other companies in their portfolio that they could like use brokers and distribution for. And so then I'm like, oh, okay. They also made this journey and probably did the 10 years too, just with other businesses in four now.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Be Fearless, Dream Like a Kid, the book.
Yes.
Why did you decide to write this?
So I decided to write it. Actually, it wasn't my idea at first, but before I explain it, I'm also a public speaker. So I get asked to travel and speak. So for example, I went to South Africa to teach young girls about financial literacy for like a girls track event. I'll go to different schools or organizations to talk about female empowerment or being a Black entrepreneur and dreaming like a kid. And so as a student, I'm now a junior, but as a student, I can't accept all those speaking requests.
Right.
And it's kind of sad because that's one of the hardest parts is declining them. And so it was a book agency that reached out to us and said, like, would you be interested in writing a book to share your story? And light bulb went off. That could be like a way to reach a larger audience who I may not have been able to reach before. And so I kind of just built it off of some of my presentations, what messages I want to share, but it's part memoir. So my story of starting Mean the Bees and then part business playbook. So how you can dream like a kid, how to make a budget, and like how to set goals. And so it's intended for middle graders or middle schoolers, but I've heard people who are like all over the age spectrum who just really enjoy the read.
Well, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool. And I thought your advice was spot on.
Thank you.
Which is pretty amazing. And it goes to show, at least what I think, is that a lot of this business advice is really universal. And it's just about applying it and believing that you can actually do it, right? Because most people, they kind of say, oh, I know what the steps are, but they put up all these like obstacles in their path that like are self-created. There's certainly obstacles outside of us. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the biggest challenges you've faced as you've grown, and what has that been? Tell us about one of them.
Sure. So this is one of the chapters and I kind of explain it more in depth in my book, but one of the biggest challenges was after we went on Shark Tank and we made a deal, we made it on national television, and you know, like when we were looking up Me and Be Sweet, our lemonade was the first thing that would pop up. This was after all this. And we got an email from a company saying that your name is too similar to ours. Either you change it or like pay a couple $1 million to keep it. And my parents were telling me this after they put my daughter to bed. And they were explaining that we have like a problem. What would you like to do about it? And at first I was heartbroken because Be Sweet is the name that I came up with. I didn't know about this other company. And I loved it because, you know, it's Be Sweet. It's a pun.
Yeah.
Quick. And so that was a pretty big challenge because we had to decide whether we wanted to fight back and pay like hundreds of dollars per hour to figure out how we can keep this name or like change it and start from scratch kind of. And so it would have been very easy to say like it was great while it lasted. It's really too expensive to both change the name because we have to get rid of all the product that had Be Sweet on it. So it would be too expensive to change it, but also really expensive to keep it. That was a challenge. How we overcame that was we found our hive. So there was a really cool agency in California. There was a cool one here in Austin, and they all pitched in. And we pitched in too. We came up with 500 names and then narrowed it down to like 50. One, which was Me and the Bees. And then we came up with a really great like branding system and launched it at the White House. So we kind of just started it and took the challenge to our
advantage. Okay, can you hold up the bottle for 1 second? Because there's one thing that I really like on your bottle, and it's that you have your face on the bottle. And for people who maybe are just listening to this who aren't seeing the video, I think that's really important, and you touched upon it earlier, because you're a Black young woman. And I don't know if there are many other Black young women in this space who are public, who are visible, who are showing other people that look like them what's possible. And I want to ask you why you made this decision to sort of put yourself out there like that.
Okay, so I made the decision because first I wanted to like show that I own the product. But yeah. Second, I wanted to, like you said, show that you can be Black, you can be female, and you can be a kid and get your product on a shelf. So we have had emails and people come up to me in the past saying, you know, we'd carry this product if your face wasn't on it, or you'd sell more product if you took your face off, or what is this in juice, like in what juice? We've had people come up and tell that to us because our face is on the bottle. You know, it's very few, but it does happen. And as any company, you're going to face hate. And so I think it was just realizing that those are the people who need to see my face on the bottle. And then there's so many other girls out there or Black girls out there who could use this inspiration, who could see my face on the bottle and be like, oh, what's that? Read the story and then start their own. So that is why I keep my face on the bottle. And even though it is of me a little bit younger, I really enjoy it.
I think it's super impactful and powerful. And I'm glad you did it. And those dummies can just hit the road. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm about to go into like an expletive laden rant and I'm really trying to stop myself. So I won't do that. Otherwise the podcast will be explicit, but I'm so glad that you stuck to your values and what was important to you. Now you started talking to us early on about the importance of the bees, the importance of saving the bees. And I know that in your book, you talk a lot about, you know, yeah, you can run a business and that's a great thing to do, but there's also this social impact element. And I want you to talk more about that.
Okay, sure. So perfect. I thank you for bringing that up. I really am trying to encourage social entrepreneurship. And the one reason is because this generation and hopefully generations to come are going to be more conscious consumers. So they're going to like pick up the bottle and figure out, is this one that's doing good in the world or that's sustainable or that supports a cause that I believe in? So that's one reason is because you can possibly get more customers for it. But the second reason, and this really applied to me, is that it's a really good motivator. So it's something bigger that's pushing you than just like making a profit. It's, oh, the bees may need me, or I need to share my story so other people can, you know, make their own story. Whatever it is, it's something that keeps you going. And when you have those challenges, it's easier to get through them and overcome them. And I always say, like, don't be discouraged, get back up and spread your wings. And by having a social business, it's a lot easier to do so. And so I would encourage people, if you're starting a business, find a way that you can use that business to do good in the world. So whether it's donating product or time or funding. And then if you're a consumer and you're looking for products, please go look for products that have values that align with yours and not just the easiest one to pick up.
I love it. That is so awesome. Now, there are a lot of adults who are listening to our show right now, and a lot of these people have kids. And I want to ask you, for a parent who's listening, who's just like mine is completely blown right now, and how eloquent you are in describing your business and running a business and dealing with these challenges in, you know, going on Shark Tank and all this stuff, which takes so much courage. What would you advise to a parent whose child comes to them and says, hey, I have an idea of something I want to do? What most parents might say, oh, yeah, yeah, maybe when you're older, or they might say, that's a fantasy. What would you encourage for those parents?
I would encourage them, even though it's not always easy and there's can be a lot of crazy ideas, like even my ideas that were horrible, my dad was like, okay, let's figure out how you can do this. But the first thing that I would say is maybe not say like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Maybe, like you said, what are your interests, or what's something that you have fun doing, or what change do you want to make? And so that's the first one, is kind of just letting them know that they don't have to wait until they grow up to do something amazing. And then the second thing is when they come to you with that idea or that interest, kind of continue sparking it, I guess. Mm-hmm. So instead of shutting it down, figure out how they can continue it. And so for me, that was when I said that I wanted to do the fair, they found the fair and then they let me sign up for it. And I know a lot of parents, I know some of my friends whose parents said that their parents wouldn't let them. And I would say, stay right there with them if you're doing the fair, but let them go and learn these lessons. And it's really valuable, especially when they're young.
What did you do when you got discouraged? What advice do you have for people who feel discouraged or things aren't happening or they have setbacks, like some of the ones that you described?
What did I do when I was discouraged? I asked a lot of questions. So I would find people who, whether it was on social media or even at the booth across me, and I would talk to them. I would ask them, how's your day going? What are you doing? What are some tips that you have for me as I'm trying to grow my business or sell more product? But I think networking, even though it's something that I'm still working on, is really valuable, and especially just asking questions and staying curious.
I love it. Michaela, for folks who are listening, whether they're adults or they're having their kid listen to this episode with them, what advice do you have for someone who maybe has a dream and wants to start their own path in entrepreneurship and isn't really sure, how do I even approach this? What idea do I pick? How do I start? What would you advise them?
So the first thing that I would say is kind of be a student again. So go and study, whether it's reading books or watching podcasts, just try to study as much as you can and soak in information regarding what you want to do. And then the second thing that I would say is continue to ask questions, always do a prototype, always test your market. So always, whether it's polls or asking friends and family, whether they would buy this or not, always test your market and figure out whether there's a need for it. And then once you feel like you have a good enough plan, I say be fearless and get started. Because if it fails, you learn from the failures. So many people have said that's important. But if it succeeds, or if you think it's going to succeed, you don't want to miss out on the opportunity. So once you feel prepared, get started. Be fearless.
Such great advice. I just love it. Okay, so you said you're a junior in high school right now.
Yeah.
So my last question for you before we wrap up, what's next for you?
What's next? So two parts, I guess, what's next for me and the bees and what's next for me personally. And for me and the bees, I'm very proud to say that we are in over 1,800 stores in 40 states. And we've sold 1.3 million bottles of lemonade since I started.
Wow.
So I am taken aback by how far we've come since my stand, and I never imagined us to, do that. I'm very happy that we did, and I really enjoyed the process of growing. But what's next is that I would like to get into all 50 states. I would like to make the product available. And the second thing is I really want the book to become a bestseller, a New York Times bestseller.
I think it will.
Hopefully. One of the goals for my book launch is making it a bestseller. And then also continuing to be innovative. So just whether it's coming up with new flavors or different products, just keep on being a trendsetter in the market. Mm. And then what do I want to do personally? I am not sure. I'm going to continue high school. Still don't know what college I want to do, but I know that I would like to study maybe business or philosophy. And then eventually I think it would be amazing if I could become an investor, and whether this is my main thing or a side thing, invest in other minority or female-run businesses. Because funding was very hard for me as I was growing Me and the Bees. And I'm looking around and seeing that it's hard for so many people as well. Females get, I think, 2% of all venture capitalist funding. And so I would like to make that path easier. And when I see an idea or a business that has a lot of potential, be able to invest in that. So I have to figure out where I'm going to get the funding for this. But I believe I can do it, whether it's with coming up with more businesses and being a serial entrepreneur. But yeah.
Incredible. And I cannot wait to watch your star continue to rise, because I think that's absolutely what we're going to see. And that's very, very exciting. Michaela, thank you so much for being with us on Brave by Design. The book is called Be Fearless.
Dream like a kid.
Yes. Okay, awesome. It is out now. So go get it wherever you get books. Thank you again for joining us on the show.
Oh, can I add one more thing?
Do it.
I just finished the audiobook narration for Be Fearless. So it was a long process, but I finished it and I really love it because I'm telling the story. So like there's no other person to tell the story than me. So if you like audiobooks or...
I do.
Oh, really nice. Mm-hmm. So if you like audiobooks, then you can get my book on Audible or Libro.fm or just wherever you get audiobooks as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Michaela.
I want to thank you for joining me, and remember to subscribe through your favorite app so you can stay up to date. And I would love your review. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and comment on Apple Podcasts. You can also keep in touch with me online. You can find me on LinkedIn, and I'm also on Instagram at Force of Badassery. All that information will be available in the show notes. Until next time, stay brave.